Welcome to Journal Club for January 27th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. On today's episode, the newest member of our team, Olive Mitra, is going to take us to the front lines in the fight to adapt to climate change. He's going to walk you through the sophisticated statistical methods like wavelet coherence and Mann-Kendall tests that rice growers in Bangladesh are using to try and save a crop that is not only critically important to the country, but extremely vulnerable to temperature fluctuations. Olive starts us off by taking us back in time.
In 1920s America, wheat production was booming. Technological innovations in farm machinery meant that even substandard soil in the heartland could be converted into farms. The indigenous communities had managed these lands sustainably for thousands of years. The homesteaders replaced their strategies with monocrop and monoculture. Over the course of a few decades, the Great Plains region was transformed into a sea of wheat, worked by poor frontier farmers, pushing further and further west in growing numbers, converting more and more land. More farmers meant more wheat, but more wheat meant lower prices. So each farmer needed to grow more to keep up and pay for those new machines that sowed and processed the wheat. It was only a matter of time before the boom went bust. When the droughts of the early 1930s hit the region, the soil that had been loosened from monocropping finally gave way and turned everything to dust. Entire growing regions were lost, and farmers lost everything. We now call this time the Dust Bowl. The stories of suffering and loss from that period are the legacy of short-sighted agricultural policy and action. It's the story of what can happen when you disregard the feedback from the land and don't adapt to a changing climate. It's the story of hubris and greed, and today, this story is resurfacing around the world. Our paper today looks at how one country, Bangladesh, is using data science to avoid repeating the mistakes of the past. This research is part of a larger initiative they're using to equip the agricultural sector with the statistical and computational tools they need to adapt their growing strategies to climate change. In this paper, they explore the relationship of temperature to rice yields. The authors use statistical analysis methods to discover trends hidden in daily temperature data over time and show how they impact crop growth. We're going to walk through how exactly they're doing that. We'll look at descriptive statistics, the Mann-Kendall test, and wavelet coherence. We'll show how these researchers use these tools to get a multifaceted understanding of the variables that are critical to drought intervention. When it established itself as an independent nation in 1971, Bangladesh faced an 80% poverty rate. Since then, it has emerged as the region's second largest economy, and the poverty rate has dropped to 13%. And that's not just due to growth in the industrial sector. Bangladesh is now the third largest global rice producer as well. Much of rice production in Asia, aside for India and China, is concentrated in the countries south of the Yangtze River. All these regions share similar climates. Rice is happiest above 50 degrees Fahrenheit, or 10 degrees Celsius, and below 95 degrees Fahrenheit, or 35 degrees Celsius. Once it drops below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, rice growth can be stunted, seedlings can be damaged, and the seasonal harvest can be delayed. At temperatures above the sweet spot, an enzyme that is crucial to photosynthesis, rubisco, is inhibited. This leads to increased crop mortality and smaller yield. There have been many studies surrounding the correlation of climate and rice yield, but these studies have only focused on national-level data. They didn't take into account the incredible geographic variety of a small country that both touches the ocean and the Himalayan mountains. The authors of today's study believe in the importance of analyzing temperature data in a way that takes into account the sub-regional differences over time. The goal is to get a more accurate picture of temperature change and its direct relationship to rice yield. This more granular level analysis will help uncover temperature trends important to each of the three major varieties of rice grown in the area. The authors want to know, what happens when temperatures move out of the sweet spot? If they can figure that out, then this data can inform drought resilience strategies such as increased irrigation. It can tell them which varieties to plant in each season. When considering drought resilience strategies, specific sub-regional interventions will be much more beneficial than a one-size-fits-most approach. Their multispectral analysis is essential to developing sustainable interventions across soil science, biotech, and agricultural policy. The authors used a temperature dataset from the Bangladesh Meteorological Department. It contained daily observations in maximum and minimum temperature. The data had been collected by 35 weather stations that were scattered across the countryside and represented the varied landscape. This was cross-referenced with rice production data collected from the Bangladesh Bureau of Statistics to see the correlations between temperature shifts and rice yield. At this point, they were using what we call descriptive statistics. This term encompasses a set of methods that describe or make data easier to understand through patterns. This is very useful for looking at large sets of data, like temperature highs and lows, and seeing trends in maximum, minimum, and mean temperatures over seasons, geographic regions, and decades. The overall increase in temperature was confirmed with a Mann-Kendall test. This is an analysis that shows if a monotonic or single-directional trend, up or down, is present in the data. In this case, the trend of temperature in relation to time. Data from each region confirmed that this trend was indeed monotonic and upward, regardless of geographical differences. Now that the temperature rise was statistically validated, the authors needed to examine how this impacted rice yields. In order to approximate the perceived heat, or how hot it feels to the rice, humidity was combined with temperature data. This gave them what we call the heat index. The heat index needed to be examined in relation to time and the rice production yields. But how can you correlate these three elements at the same time? To solve this, the research chose to run a wavelet coherence. This is a tool that demonstrates when multiple variables are correlated over time and how intense that correlation is. This kind of analysis is used often in geophysical sciences. Let's look a little deeper at wavelet coherence and how it was used in this study. Imagine a thermal image as zones of color indicating heat levels. A wavelet coherence chart looks similar, but rather than indicating how hot or cold something is, the colors indicate how correlated two values, or signals, are to each other. First, you start by expressing a variable, such as heat index, as a function of time and frequency. Next, the same is done for another variable you wish to compare, such as rice yield over the same amount of time. Both variables, expressed in the time frequency space, are then compared, with attention to how the two variables relate to each other. Since time is baked into both signals already, you're effectively analyzing three variables at once. Correlation is expressed in a color plot, with red indicating high correlation and blue indicating little correlation. Data that might be impacted by edge effects, which could make correlation data unreliable, is expressed by a shaded region called the zone of influence. Researchers look at data outside of this zone for more reliable correlation information. The wavelet coherence in this study indicated not only a strong correlation between heat index and rice yield impact, but also the moment in each season when these correlations were strongest, and whether the impact was positive or negative. Small arrows in the wavelet coherence diagram indicate how the variables are related, with rightward arrows indicating that they are in phase, and leftward arrows indicating that they are anti-phase, or as X increases, Y decreases. In our study, X would be temperature rise, and Y would be rice yield. The analysis revealed that a significant reduction in rice yield in the past few decades is directly linked with temperatures rising above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. With this analysis, researchers are able to see which points in the growing seasons start seeing crop failure from temperature rise, indicating a shortening of growing seasons for some varieties. Targeted interventions can be considered for these specific varieties to account for this, such as new genetic strains that have shorter growth cycles. Overall, the study indicates that Bangladesh can expect warmer winters, hotter summers, shifting rainfall patterns, and more frequent severe weather events. But how can farmers and the large rice industry prepare and react? The authors make four key recommendations they believe can increase the resilience of rice production in extreme weather. 1. Region-specific interventions in soil quality, irrigation, and pest management. 2. Development of new varietals with shorter growth cycles and heat resilience. 3. Meteorological predictions using machine learning. 4. Digitizing weather alert strategies for farmers in anticipation of extreme weather events. All of these systems are dynamically interconnected, so the solutions moving forward need to be more multidimensional in scope and rely on collaboration across public and private sectors. Also, as temperature alone can only account for part of the variation in yield, they recommend that this dataset should be combined with precipitation, humidity, solar radiation, as well as soil quality, water management, and local farming infrastructure data to give a more holistic view of rice production. Bangladesh has demonstrated considerable commitment to advancing sustainable development in the agriculture sector, and will need to ensure collaborative planning to reach all of its communities and ensure food security and drought resilience moving forward. As temperature patterns trend upwards with no immediate signs of cooling down, seasons will shift and communities working at all levels of food cultivation will need to gain access to sustainable practices. So what can we take away from this paper? Well, countries like Bangladesh can serve not just as canaries in the coal mine of climate impact, but examples of how scientific and commercial communities can work together to use data and drive sustainable innovations. As the U.S. now looks to corn and soy as its major commercial crops, a multidisciplinary research framework can help us understand how rising temperatures and increased extreme weather events can be less impactful to food production. This is the way to prevent dust bowls and other similar events from happening in the future. If you'd like to explore the data analysis tools, graphs, and charts for yourself, please download the PDF and get right on in there. Glad you spent some time with us today at Journal Club. I'm Olive Mitra. Thanks for listening.
Today's episode was written and narrated by Olive Mitra. If you missed the announcement when he joined the company, check out our Instagram. That video is pinned to the top. Or connect with him on LinkedIn. His profile is now linked on our homepage. Thanks for joining us. I'm Malcolm Diggs. See you tomorrow.